Amazing.
Okay, so we're going to discuss the mitzvah. It appears in this week's parasha, Lo Sama Adam Riecha, that there, and it's interesting the way it's formulated. It's formulated as a negative commandment. Don't stand idly by your brother's blood. So the Gemara, I took too much from the source here. It's the fourth line. Gufa minayin laros chaveir shu tovea benar. Ochaya gararto, listen bo, I'm love shu chayv latzilo. Tamad lomar lo samad adam reyecha. So how do we know that if somebody's drowning or in any precarious situation that there's a chiyuv to save him? Tamad lomar lo samad adam reyecha. Okay? So the Gemara establishes that there is a violation if you passively watch someone die and you could have saved him, so there's a prohibition. So Gemara asked the following question: why do you need a special pasuk to teach you that you have to save a life? We have a regular rule, hashavas aveda. So somebody's wallet is, you know, it falls in the river and you're standing there and you're watching it go by, so you have to take the wallet out of the river. So if a guy's dying, so of course you have to save him. So why do you need a special pasuk? So the Gemara, and the Gemara says that we have a limud of the Hashivoslo is referring to Aveda's Gufo. So Ime Hasam, because if the parameters, if we just treated it as regular Hashavas Aveda, so then we would say Hanimili Benafshe. So you're bound by doing it yourself. But Metrach Megara Gure Lo Kamashmalan, that if you need to hire somebody else, maybe you shouldn't have to do that. Meaning, it's a strange situation. But you're not in a position to save this person because you don't know how to swim. And so a guy's drowning in the river. There's a lifeguard sitting there, and he's not. He goes, okay, I'll do it, but you got to give me $100 or I'm just going to stand there and watch the guy die. So why doesn't that guy have a chiyuv? I don't know. We don't have time to ask him that. He doesn't want to do it. So you have to pay him money to save the guy drowning in the river. There is a machlokas between the Rosh and the Yad Ramah. What happens if the victim doesn't have the money to pay back? So who incurs the expense? Is it an absolute chiyuv or is it a chiyuv on the rescuer? But either way, you see that there's an added bonus when it comes to saving a life that we don't have by a Shavas Aveda. So the Achronim discuss within this context, is this all, meaning the Gemara says, well, what's the difference between a Shavas Aveda and saving a life? This issue of paying somebody. Okay, so is that it, or are there other features? So so there's two examples. They're not in the source here. The Rav Shlomo Kluger throws out this idea that when it comes to Shavas Aveda, there's a din of Zakein Veinelich Vichvodo. So let's say you find somebody's underwear on the street. And it's, you know, then you're going to have to post and, you know, and it's going to be embarrassing. So you're not required to do that because it's beneath your dignity. Okay? So let's say somebody's drowning in the river and, I don't know, it's a woman and, you know, maybe somebody will take a picture and put it on Twitter and you're going to look like... So maybe you should say, you know, l'fichvodo. So Shlomo Kluger says, you see from the Gemara that there's only one difference between the two that maybe it would apply. So Rav Moshe says, no. The reason why you don't apply in l'fichvodo is because somebody's life can never be beneath someone's dignity. So yeah, you could argue it's going to be embarrassing, but you have to put that aside. Then the Minchas Chinuch brings up, you know, if somebody takes their own wallet and throws it in the river, so do you have an obligation to save it from going downstream? No, the guy just threw it out. So what if somebody tries to kill themselves? Do you have an obligation to save them? So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, maybe it's the same thing. Meaning the only difference between a Shavas Aveda and saving a life is this, and that's not listed here. So Rav Moshe says that too is a bad argument, because I have the right to take my wallet and throw it in the river. I don't have the right to take my own life. So I can make a decision that I'm throwing away my money. I cannot make a decision that I'm throwing away my life. And therefore, if somebody decides to kill themselves, so somebody else has an obligation to save them. Okay, but now here's where it gets to more practical examples, which already we can think about. Like the Yerushalmi tells the following story. Rav Imi was captured. He was taken captive, and they ransomed him. So Rav Yonasan says, Yikar HaMeis Bistina. Okay, just start preparing the funeral. There's nothing we could do, meaning we're not paying the money, and and they're going to kill him, so they kill him. And Reish Lakish, who we know was had a history, in this business, says, "Adana kati lana miskatil. If they're going to kill him, they're going to have to kill me first." And he goes in there, and he saves him. So the Hagos Maimoni quotes this Yerushalmi, and it says, "Afilu hachnas atzmus of sakana." That you have to put yourself, meaning Reish Lakish, obviously, if he knew for sure that he was going to die, it would be pointless. He's going to die, and the other guy's going to die. He said, "Okay, maybe they'll kill me, maybe they won't kill me, but I have a chance to save him." So you see that you have to put yourself at risk to save somebody else's life. The Beis Yosef quotes this because of Gos Maimoni, and he says maybe the reason is because you have a vada against the suffolk, meaning this guy is certainly going to die, you might die, so maybe you have to put yourself at risk. The Sma quotes this, and he points out that none of the other poskim quote this as a matter of halacha, meaning it's very nice. That goes by when he says you have to put yourself at risk, and everybody else disagrees. So Aruch Haner says, you know why they disagree? Because it seems like the Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi. Which Bavli? Our Bavli. The Bavli says that there's no difference between Pikuach Nefesh and Hashem Zaveda, except for hiring somebody else. Why didn't the Gemara say, well, if it was just from Hashem Zaveda, you don't have to risk your life to save the guy's wallet, but you do have to potentially risk your life to save somebody else's life? The fact that the Gemara left that out shows you that the Gemara never entertained that even as a possibility. You have to hire somebody, okay, that's reasonable, but to put your own life at risk to save somebody else, that's not. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in that same tshuva, says that maybe the Yerushalmi could be read differently. Reish Lakish didn't say, hey, we could save this guy, and we all have to try to save him, and we, even if we need to be killed, we're going to try to save him. He said, I am going to do it. Meaning, it's optional. If you want to risk your life, so you could have argued, you're not allowed to risk your life to save somebody else's life, because you're putting your life in danger. So the Yerushalmi is saying, you're allowed to do that. That's what the Reish Lakish said. I chose myself to risk my life to save somebody else's life. That's something that's allowed. You're not required to do it, and it's not prohibited. You can go either way. So we mentioned the Zaken Vein Fifrodo as one possible difference. We mentioned Avedas Atzmo, somebody tried to kill themselves. And now the third is you have to put your own life at risk to save somebody else's. What about a limb? So the Radvaz is mashma that would also be included in this. You can read that into the Gemara as well. Meaning, the Radvaz discusses, it's a strange case where a guy threatens somebody else. Says, either you let me chop off your finger, or I'm going to kill Ploni. It was a crazy world back then. It's still a crazy world, but
That sounds like stuff from the Holocaust.
Yeah. So it was happening. Somebody asked the question. It wasn't just like a theoretical. Somebody was told, either you let me chop off your finger, or I'm going to kill Ploni. So the Radvaz discusses, is he required to lose a limb in order to save somebody else's life? So he points out, A, that it is dangerous, meaning guy who's threatening to chop off somebody's limb doesn't guarantee that it's only going to be the limb. Somebody can die from it. But then he says that, he implies at least, that you're not required to lose one limb in order to save somebody else's life. Rav Moshe in the previous tshuva formulates perhaps a reason, and that is because Osama Adam Re'echa is it's a mitzvah. Now, granted, it's phrased in the negative, meaning you're required to lose all your money and not violate Shabbos or whatever prohibition. So the case which we say can never happen is somebody's house on fire, and they're on an island, and there's nobody else on the island, nobody's life is at risk. The only thing is, the house is going to burn down. So they can get on a boat, go off the island, and that'll be the end of the island. So you're not allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save your money. But this is formulated, meaning it's formulated the same way in a negative, but the mitzvah is not active, it's passive. Meaning, lo samad amirach means don't be passive. Whereas normal los haseis don't do something, this is do something. So Rav Moshe says that for those types of mitzvahs, you are not required, like a mitzvah haseh, you're only required to spend a certain amount. You're only required to go up to a fifth of your wealth. Let's say, you know, you have $100 and a lulav costs $30. You're not required to buy a lulav. You're only required to spend up to 20. So you're not required to give up a limb. You're not required to risk your life. The Shelas David, Rav David Karliner, he also reads into the Gemara that you're not required, even forget about a limb, you're not even required to put yourself in considerable pain in order to save somebody else's life. So how do you know this from the Gemara? Because the Gemara says that the only difference between Hashavas Aveda and Pikuach Nefesh is the obligation to hire somebody. So it doesn't say that you're required to risk your life, and it doesn't say that you're required to put yourself in pain. So that's his deal. Now you could argue that when it says mitrach u'megaragure, meaning it says you have to go out and find somebody and hire somebody. So there are things that it might not be exactly, you know, involving money and effort, but you know, a needle prick is certainly, it's tzar, it hurts a little, but you're not going to let somebody die if you're, let's say, a bone marrow match. And that's a little bit more than just a needle prick. It's hard to say that that you can just exempt yourself because it's a little bit painful. So this whole discussion is relevant to kidney donations. It's now, they were in our shul a few weeks ago, and there's a push for people to you know, to donate kidneys to people, even in a situation where we don't necessarily know who's getting it, or the person who's getting it may not even be in the situation yet that they need it. So, on the one hand, in the 60s at least, they said, well, you know, you're like really putting yourself at risk to save somebody else's life. It's a lot less riskier now than what it was. But it is a significant surgery. It is painful. It's not exactly like mitrach mega agure. So you definitely, I can't say definitely, but it seems to fall within that middle, what Rav Moshe says, that it's optional. It's certainly praiseworthy. It's optional. And you're allowed to do it, but there wouldn't be a chiyuv to do it just because, you know, because well, otherwise we would all have only one kidney. So the last question, I'm not going to have a chance to get into it too much, and that's the following. Now that we've established that you're allowed to give a kidney, so are you allowed to pressure somebody to give it? And this pressure doesn't necessarily mean like, you know, to put a gun to a guy's head. You know, sometimes you have a family member who needs it, and there's a match, but it's not a first cousin. It's, you know, somebody who's not so close, and so can the grandmothers try to lay on the guilt to get the kidney. So it relates partly to the question of losachmod. Losachmod means not to covet, but in practical terms, what it means is you can't say you have this and I want it, and you can't use high pressure tactics in order to procure it. So you could potentially argue, and again, there's a question of whether it only applies to a sale. Does it apply to a gift? A gift might not be losachmod. Is this really high-pressure tactics, or is it implicit pressure? There's a lot to discuss here. You can read the sources. And then one more question to throw out here is, you know, we're allowed to violate certain halachas in order to save a life. So are you allowed to violate losachmod? Are you allowed to covet in order to save somebody else's life? Now, before we say, well, it's not one of the big three, I'll ask you the following question. Are you allowed to steal somebody's kidney to save a life? So you'll say, of course not. Right, of course not. The question is, how would you? I don't know. Right, so we know that you can't violate... we know that you can't do that. The question is why. Is it because the only time you're allowed to take somebody's money, let's say somebody, you have a minute here, let's say somebody passes out on the street and there's a defibrillator in the next store window. Are you allowed to break the window to get the defibrillator out? Yes, because you're going to pay the guy back for the window. But what if it was impossible to pay the guy back? Let's say by breaking this window, that'll be the end of his business. So that's not it's not 100% clear. So you can read the sources here, or you can look. I wrote an article online about this, about live kidney donations. There's a whole analysis there about this issue, about pressuring somebody in order to. In order to procure a kidney.
I'm sure you've seen all those ads. Basically, you know, it's making people to.